on once a year. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
After all, a bunch of slaves! Bunch of slaves!
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but it's love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson. It is time for everybody out there to get off their blinded high horse of emotional narcissism. Start accepting reality that the weak-willed are too spiritually fragile to accept. We are living in crazy, chaotic times. It's time to either stand up or sit down. It is October the 27th, 2016. We have 11 days until some so-called election where we pick our representatives. Which psychopath represents you? Which narcissist represents you? Neither one represents me, and I don't think they represent the majority of people out there. But we're told this is what we get. We have people in North Dakota right now that are fighting for their right, for their own land, for their water. And yet corporations come in, tase people, mace them, push them off their land. This country's been hijacked. But it's up for us to live in love. We are vessels with our own spirit, with our own soul. It's time for us to stand up against all this crazy nonsense that's keep getting shoved down our throats by the corporate media because of greedy people, lunatics, that try to interpret the reality of what's going on in the world, but they do it through lies, they do it with an agenda. It's time to shut all that out. I charge everybody out there listening to go do your own research, find your own facts. But turn that garbage off, because it's nothing but a PR firm for a bunch of corporate lunatic liars. That's where we're at. And it's up for us to love the people around us in our daily life. We've got to shut all that nonsense off. Everybody's talking about an election. You know what? It is a big deal. But we're not picking a representative, which we're supposedly picking. On top of it, it's all rigged to begin with. From top to bottom on every level. You are in control of yourself. Don't harm others. Those are the people that want to harm others. Those are the people that want to bring violence on you. Don't behave like them. Don't act like them, because they're nuts. They're crazy. They're psychopaths. We've got war with Russia on our doorstep right now, all because of ego. Ego, because these people have been caught red-handed lying, and they turn around and look at WikiLeaks and they say, oh, well, Russia's leaked all this. No, they haven't. If they have, where's the proof? Because let me tell you something, if there was proof of that, they would have shown it to us by now. But I tell you what I have seen proof of. I've seen proof of elected officials, somebody that spent a lifetime in government service that has hundreds of millions of dollars breaking the law, that if I did it or if you did it, they'd be under the jail. And you have people out there telling you, oh, well, you have to vote for him, or you have to vote. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's public peer pressure to fit in. Oh, take control of your own life. Shut down this nonsense. They are not in control of you. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our co-host for the evening, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what's going on?
Well, sounds like you're a little bit amped up tonight. I like that.
Chaos in the streets, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah, it's always chaos in the streets, whether we create it or not. It's funny how that works.
People have bought into the lies and to the agenda for far too long, and it's time that we finally stand up together as a people. This is outrageous. We can
well,
go down...
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, I'm just going to go on a long rant. Go ahead, Shannon.
Yeah, well, you already, you know, you've got the rant thing covered tonight. I know we've got quite a few rant-worthy stories to talk about tonight. One in particular, you've already referenced the North Dakota pipeline. That is, wow. As far as property ownership, as far as rights, as far as things like that goes, I don't know why every American is not absolutely just teetotal furious about this.
In fairness to every American, they're not, because the corporate media doesn't talk about it. That's why. They don't know. And it's, look, there are people out there that are looking for this information, and when they see it, they're awake to it. But supposedly it's the media's job to keep people informed. No, that's not what they do. The media is there to keep you subservient, to keep you just toeing the line and doing what they want, telling you you've got just this choice and you better go along with it. That's what they're there doing, and it's disgusting.
Well, any time that we have to talk as a nation about any issue whatsoever relating to the Native Americans here, that always gives everybody the heebie-jeebies right off the bat, because there's a lot of very uncomfortable truths that we have to admit to when we talk about that. And here we have land that was given to these Native people by the United States government, free and clear. Here we're going to give you your land back, and you're able to do with on your land what you wish. And just like not only the Native Americans, but also surrounding communities of, you know, ranchers and farmers and other people that own property within the path of this pipeline, eminent domain has been secured. And like it or not, you get a pipeline running up through your property. Again, I mean, that's where we're at in America. That's what we've allowed our government to do. And that's why I was so tickled when you were talking a moment ago about the presidential election and the fact that we don't pick shit anymore.
Well, I'll say this, you know, the people in North Dakota right now are standing up for their land, their property. And I know we can go on this long tangent in this, you know, history lesson about Native Americans in this country, and you can do it with every race, every creed. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead, and this may upset people, but guess what? We're here today. We're living here today. We interact with people in our daily lives on a daily basis. It doesn't matter what happened 20 years ago. It doesn't matter what happened 2,000 years ago, 200 years ago. It's how we interact with people today. Today. And you know what? That's their property. Those people, it belongs to them. And the government wants to come in and take it however it became to them. Sure, we can go back and talk about how all the land was stolen from everybody, but we have to address people with love today. All people. Everyone.
So in doing that, in loving people, we also have to honor promises and commitments, correct?
Correct.
Because the land we're talking about, forget about, you know, how we originally settled here and stole all the land from the Indians. That land was given back to them, and the government stole it away from them and gave it back to them. Here, it's yours. And now we're in the process of stealing it right back from them.
Some greedy people want to come in and do whatever they want to do because they've got a dollar to make. Let me explain to people what this greed and, oh, we got a dollar to make has done. Look at what's going on in the Middle East right this very second. We are bombing right now 7 countries. That is outrageous. Those are human beings. And we're just going along with it. We literally talk about on a daily basis, well, should we be bombing? Shouldn't we? I don't know. Are you kidding me? There's human beings, innocent people, children that are underneath those bombs that your tax dollars pay for. And we're going to sit here. Look, if those bombs were dropping on your head or your loved one's head, you'd have a much different interpretation of it. It's disgusting, this propaganda that people go with. Just this year in the United States alone, there have been 948 people killed by the police. And people excuse every single one. Sometimes people put themselves in a situation they ought not be in, and it's for other people's protection. And sometimes it's an innocent person getting killed. But because we've been brainwashed by colors and uniforms, they just go along with it. Well, it was to keep me safe, because people live in fear. You cannot live your life in fear anymore. It goes back to what Bill Hicks said. You have a choice between fear and love. Do you want bigger locks on your doors, or do you want to walk out your doors and embrace your neighbor? Because the people that want to bomb everybody, the people that's okay with innocent people getting killed across the world, look, I implore you. You don't know what's going on in Syria. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's real quick to find out. You can go look up the school that was bombed just a couple of days ago. And that came from, look, Russia or Syria. Nobody's quite sure. It's not a good situation what's going on. But why is there people there to begin with? Why are we there? Why do we want our names, our tax dollars attached to those bombs? Look at what's going on in Yemen right now. That's your tax dollars in Yemen, innocent people being killed, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Those are human beings. Those are people. You hear those names, oh, they're just, you know, all we hear about those countries on the news are bad, they're bad, they're bad. There's a big difference between people coming over here to this country and physically attacking us and defending yourself and just brutally, barbarically murdering people. Because the last time I checked, nobody from Yemen came over here and attacked the United States. The last time I checked, nobody from Iraq came over here and attacked the United States. But nobody seems to have a problem with going over and wiping out all these people. And
ISIS, man. Come on. ISIS is everywhere.
Are you talking about the exact same ISIS that's being funded by one of the candidates running for president of the United States right now, acknowledges that Qatar and Saudi Arabia are funding these horrible monsters, which...
No, man, that's that other ISIS. There's like more than one ISIS, there has to be.
But they take there's money like from them like it's no thing. Because
if we're doling money out, it's got to be for a good cause, right?
Say what? You broke up just a little bit.
I said if we're doling money out, then it's got to be for a good cause, right?
That's what people are brainwashed to believe. But we don't live in that world. I'm sorry. The things that all the warm, cuddly feelings you got from your history books, learning about Paul Revere and, oh, everything's going to be great, that's not where we live. I'm sorry to break it to everybody, but that's not the world we live in. We live in a world run by selfish psychopaths. You don't get hundreds of millions of dollars being a servant to the people, as Hillary Clinton claims. And it's not just her. You can go down the list of people in Washington, but she right now is by far the most prominent. She right now, by far, we have seen more evidence come out day after day after day because of Julian Assange, who there's people out there saying he's this, he's that. You know what he is? He's somebody that's giving the American people the information that this weak-willed, ridiculous, supposed media, whatever they are, this PR firm for the government won't tell you about. Because they're covering up for him. Because they're all in it together. It's a joke. And they want to get on their high horse and pretend, oh, we just want the information out. No, they don't. If they did, then they would be have told us the truth for the past 16 years. The exact same people that told us that there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, we have to go to Iraq, are right now shoving Russia down your throat with zero evidence. Just trust us. Just trust us. Where has that gotten anybody? Trusting those fools? No, thank you.
Well, and think about our friends in North Dakota right now. They trusted the government. The government said, "You can keep this land. This is yours. We're not going to mess with you any longer. We're out. See you later." And now they're back, and they're back with subpoenas and SWAT teams and militarized police and all sorts of just nasty things. Trust will get you.
It got crazy up there today, and it's sickening that they're even in a position where they have to stand up for themselves to such a point because of other people's greed. But it's that way around the world. It's a blanket thing. It's not on white people. It's not on black people. It's not on a religion. It's not on anything. It's human nature. And what kind of human do you want to be? That's it at the end of the day. What kind of person do you want to be to your loved ones? People have to stop buying into all this divisiveness. They have to stop buying into the division, into the garbage that people tell you to think. You have to chase love and those around you. Treat everybody with dignity. Treat everybody with respect. And stop being brainwashed.
Now, having said all of that, because we've both been on social media today, that's not how the world works these days, I'm afraid.
I don't care how the world works. The world's working real well right now, isn't it?
Yeah, not so much.
The world's working real well right now.
Maybe America does need to be great again. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong about that.
Well, I don't... Unfortunately, I don't think that guy's going to bring it to us, the guy that came up with that fancy slogan.
The red hat is very garish, but have you seen the new camo Make America Great Again hat, the one Trump was wearing the other day with the blue suit? Oh, my goodness, it was magnificent.
I unfortunately did not.
So now instead of for Christmas me getting you a red Make America Great Again hat, you're going to be getting a camo Make America Great Again hat. Merry Christmas.
Oh, I don't. No thanks. I don't need it.
You're going to wear that everywhere. That's going to be your thing.
I'll be all right without it. Hopefully, we don't see. I'm concerned personally that we're going to see violence and pushback in 11 days on election day. It worries me because I think people are so emotionally stunted right now that they're at each other's throats over some rich person that's supposedly going to represent them. I'm sorry, I don't see anybody trying to represent anybody running for office. You can make the argument about Jill Stein trying to represent people, I guess. You can make that argument. She's not my first choice or long down the list. But
I'll take Jill Stein over Bernie any day of the week.
I will too, personally. Whether it's Bernie or Trump or Hillary or Gary Johnson.
We have to pick between Trump or Hillary. I mean, a vote for Gary Johnson's just a wasted vote, and you're just going to make it easier for Trump to win. I mean, what the hell is wrong with you?
I will say this. A vote for Gary Johnson is a vote to be laughing for the next 4 years, because that would be hilarious, because that guy is a buffoon. I tell you what. I mean,
we also get pot, though, so, you know, that's a deal breaker.
I want to go ahead and bring on the man, the genius himself, the editor-in-chief of Anti-Media, Nick Burnaby, calling in. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Uncle Nick? Are you coming to see us or what?
Hoping to soon, man.
Yeah, you need to. Birmingham's a happening city, man. We got lots of lovely ladies here.
I need to get up.
You're a single guy, right?
No, Nick's been caught.
Oh, has Nick been snared?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Never mind. But
anyway, what's going on out on the West Coast tonight, Nick? What's your interpretation of all this garbage going on?
Oh man, not much, dude. I missed out. I didn't get to do my show yesterday because I went and got some dental work done down in Mexico, and I kind of a major surgery. And it only cost me like $140 for everything, and that's like without
anything. What? What'd you get done?
They had to do like surgery on my on a wisdom tooth and pull out like a bad tooth and stuff. And basically, man, it's, you know, cheaper for me to go. It's cheaper for me to not get Obamacare, take the hit and pay the fine, and then go to Mexico without insurance and pay for the entire operation in cash, than it is to, you know, pay a premium for some bullshit insurance plan. You know, and so I'm dealing with that. I didn't get to do my show last night because I'm still dealing with like a bunch of pain in my mouth, and I couldn't carry a show for a whole hour. But I figured I'd call in to your guys' show and give you a hard time tonight.
We love a hard time.
And I tell you what, Nick, and there's, you know, something you brought up that the majority of Americans don't have the benefit of, and you're spoiled a little bit down there, is you're, you know, less than 10 miles away from the border where you can do that. Somebody living in Nebraska, you know, they can't just, you know, drive down the street and get surgery, you know, away from the American system of health care and the outrageous rates that we're seeing, especially with Obamacare going up. Another lie, big shock. Because, and yet, there's still people out there defending these people. What is wrong with people that they're still defending this nonsense?
It's ridiculous, man. And Obamacare is, like, going up across the board from what I've read. And so, you know, I feel really bad for people that are stuck with that, especially people that have health issues that, you know, have to go and go to the doctor on, you know, on a regular basis and have to pay these just extreme rates. And, you know, families are getting hit hard, and it really sucks. And, you know, there is a big problem with the healthcare system, but Obamacare obviously wasn't the way to go as far as fixing it. You know, it's just more of this big government bureaucratic, you know, red tape. And anybody could have seen what was going to happen with this when you look at who's actually the one creating Obamacare. I mean, a lot of the law was actually written by lobbyists from the insurance industry. I mean,
oh no, that's not what they told us. They told us it was going to be great. Don't you trust the loving government?
It's so Orwellian, because I remember when Obama was really trying to sell this thing, he was like, oh yeah, you know, this is, insurance companies hate this and this, that, and the, it's like, no, they're writing it for you guys. They love this. I mean, you're making everyone...
Nick, I got to point something out. Here in Alabama, Obamacare is a monopoly. We actually, both Humana and United Healthcare, pulled out of the state of Alabama, and it's left Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's it. That is the only health insurance option we have in the state of Alabama.
It'd be like, you know, the liquor lobby going and saying, oh, well, we're going to require everyone to buy one beer a day. Everyone has to buy one, and then they at the same time they go out and say, oh, the liquor industry hates this. We're going to, you know, they don't want us to pass this law, so we should pass it. It's ridiculous, man. It's crazy.
And the thing that's I tell you what, real quick, the thing that's extremely frustrating for me is this false arrogance of it's shrouded in intellectualism, where this, like, pseudo-liberalism where – Well, you're not smart if you don't think this is going to be what's best for everybody. It's like, no, you're an idiot. You believe anything they tell you, and you think it makes you smart because you're repeating what they told you to say. It's like, grow up and get a brain for yourself.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. And, you know, to me, I actually look at it from the opposite angle. It's, you know, whenever the government feels like it has to step in to accomplish something, whether it's with healthcare or with wars around the world or with, you know, what's going on in North Dakota today, it shows the failure of our civilization, not the progression of it. I mean, whenever the government has to step in, you know there's a big problem there. And when people are actually willing to say, okay, let's give this a shot, well, you know something is failing. And so to think that this is some kind of, and you're right, man, these people pretend like it's, you know, if you don't understand Obamacare, then you're just too dumb to understand it. It's like, no. I think a lot of it, maybe that's true for some people, but I think some people are just too damn smart to buy into the fact that we need the government's heavy hand being involved in our healthcare. I mean, every other thing the government gets involved in seems to get bungled or seems to grow bureaucratic or seems to just fail altogether. So, you know, I think people that understand the situation are more likely to question this. And, of course, there's the partisans that are just, you know, Republicans that are like, Obamacare sucks because a Democrat passed it. But if it was Trump trying to pass Obamacare, I mean, they'd be all for it, you know. So, you know, you have that crowd as well. But, you know, the overarching issue here is that, you know, the government should not be getting so deeply involved in every aspect of our life. And healthcare is a, you know, very private thing. It should be something done between people and between their doctors. And, you know, we as a society need to solve the issue of how do poor people get healthcare and how do the underprivileged get their health taken care of. Because when you put the government in charge of it, you're just going to make it a lot worse. You know, and that's the you know, lesson that we're learning right now as the prices start going up and stuff. It's just a big mess.
Well, see, and you know, that goes back to my problem that I had with Bernie Sanders. So many people like, oh, Bernie's going to fix the system. Bernie's going to fix everything. And fair enough that Bernie, he diagnosed a lot of the problems that we had in this country, but his solution was always the government will fix it for you. No, it won't. It's just going to make it worse. What do we have in front of us that the government's not going to make it worse? And when you talk about health care in this country, can we please talk about the VA? Can we please talk about, on both sides, but the health care screwed up from the left, all we want to fix your health care, and from the right, we love the troops, but they're coming back over here, they're killing themselves 20 people a day, nobody cares about them, everybody forgets about them, but you'll send them over there to die for somebody else's greed, and yet you wrap yourself in red, white, and blue and convince yourself that it's for your freedom, and you lie to yourself because of something that happened in World War II because we defeated Hitler, and now you think that every time a soldier picks up a gun, it's done in some noble reason. It's a joke.
It's ridiculous, man. And, you know, on this issue of the military affairs and stuff, the one story that really pissed me off this week was over the weekend, the LA Times broke the story about how out here in California, they were garnishing veterans' paychecks to take back bonuses that they gave these guys 10 years ago because they messed up and accidentally gave bonuses out to guys that they maybe shouldn't have. But, I mean, these bonuses were like $22 million, and you're talking about the Pentagon who lost track of, what, $6.5 trillion, we just found out. And so for $22 million in extra bonuses, they're garnishing the wages of military veterans to get back that $22 million.
From 10 years ago!
My mind.
From 10 years ago. That's how greedy the system is. I had a friend of mine who used to deal with stocks all the time. And I've never really been big into it, so it never dawned on me. But I know he hit big on the stocks, and he had to pay taxes on it. But when he loses, are they going to help you pay? No. They're not going to help you pay what you lost, but they're sure going to be there to take what you just made. That's how the government is, just take, 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 take. And what have they done with everything they've taken from everybody? What do we have to show for it? We have bloodshed around the world. Nobody wants to wake up and realize what's going on overseas. It is barbaric.
It's so disgusting. I just read an article, and I shared it over on my own Facebook timeline. But they were investigating some of the tactics that is being used over in Yemen by the U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition over there. You know what they're basically doing. What we're doing there in Yemen is propping up a dictator government, kind of like what Russia is doing in Syria. But when Russia does it, it's a war crime. When we do it, it's somehow propping up a dictator is like spreading democracy. But that's beside the point. The report that I just read, which really horrified me, is that the U.S.-backed coalition is purposely bombing their food supply, their farms, their food processing plants. And like they're trying to starve people into submission in Yemen. I couldn't believe this when I read it. But they're literally trying to starve the population to get them to submit to the government. It's just so ridiculous and so backwards. And it just if people knew what was going on over there, it would just I don't know how it could continue. But the media just won't cover this, and for the most part, people don't really want to talk about it. You know, most of the presidential candidates, especially Hillary Clinton, want to make it worse. A lot worse, in fact, in some instances. And so, you know, what we're doing around the world is just the most barbaric, grotesque empire-building stuff that I've ever, you know, witnessed. And it's just, you know, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. And that's the worst part because, you know, looking at the rhetoric that we see coming out of the political atmosphere right now and this talk of no-fly zone in Syria and how nobody even questioned it. No one in the media. I mean, I was like the first person to write a story about how dangerous it is for Hillary Clinton to walk around talking about a no-fly zone in Syria and the implications of that. I was looking online to try to find like sources that I could cite in my story, and there were none. I mean, she'd been talking about this for months, and no one even mentioned it. I mean, she got a complete free pass on this. But starting a no-fly zone in Syria, I mean, that's asking for a nuclear war, literally. And, you know, our own generals know it. The people now in the Senate know it. But the media is, like, literally, instead of questioning that, they're just trying to pin a bunch of stuff against Russia. I mean, this is the weapon of mass destruction debacle all over again going on right now.
But didn't you hear Trump said something really foul and offensive 10 years ago? And I'm not in any way, shape, or form a fan of Donald Trump. I don't think Tom's got to say.
Yes, you are. Quit lying.
Shut up. But they use him as this distraction. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened to the media because they can just focus on whatever little thing that he's talking about and behind the scenes that they're just going to go around and do whatever they want. Foreign policy-wise, or even domestically. And I think that's one thing that if Trump were to win, something that nobody's even really talked about, that I think we really should be in fear of. If he were to win, I believe that the media would harp so much on this little stuff that he would be his words would be a constant distraction while this craziness continued, and nobody would know anything, and it would just all be in this one direction. If you think about it, he's almost the best thing that could happen for the establishment because he is a walking distraction.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right about that. You know, it's weird, too, because if you think about it, you know, Donald Trump is pretty much, I mean, you don't really have to pontificate on anything he has to say. You don't have to try to break it down. All you have to do is point a camera on him and ask him a silly question and let him go.
Exactly.
I mean, he's instant news. That's all you have to do is just point a camera on him and let him go. You don't have to goad him. You don't have to try to guide the story like you do with Hillary Clinton, like you'd have to do with a lot of other politicians. And that's anytime Trump pops up on the TV, somebody's going to turn their TV up just a little bit because he's crazy.
But here's the thing. They're all crazy. They're all crazy, crazy, crazy. I don't know, Nick, how much, or Shannon, both, how much of y'all have kept up with the leaks that are coming out every single day. It's something new, admitted, that they should be in jail for, in prison. Like, it makes Richard Nixon look like a choir boy, what they're doing.
I just saw one a minute ago before we got on the air that now there's a leak that Bernie Sanders actually was paid off to go ahead and bow his head gracefully and accept defeat, was actually paid off physically. I haven't seen the actual leak. I just saw the headline. Don't know if either one of you have heard that yet or not.
I haven't seen specifically where he was specifically paid off in a direct link to that, but I guarantee you that I think it was probably more of a metaphorical gun to his head that he was going to drop out and support her no matter what. I think it says a lot that we did learn from the emails that Jane Sanders, his wife, begged him not to endorse her. And it says something for her that she still has some morals. I genuinely, for all the things that I disagree with Bernie policy, I don't think he had a choice. Especially if the way you saw at the convention, he got up there the first night, he spoke, and he said, we're going to have a vote, we're going to take it to the floor, and we're going to vote. And then they get ready to vote, and he's like, I want all my delegates to go to her. And just the look on his face, like, he had just been raped by her. I mean, that's how it came across.
He went up against a wall. You know, and the Clinton
machine, I see what you did there.
Clinton machine is really a political wall, and with all these leaks, I think the thing that really shows through the most is just the depth of the Clinton coverage. There, you know, she's got every angle covered, whether politically, with the media, with the FBI, with the investigations, with the president, with the State Department, with almost everything. She's got every angle covered. She wasn't taking any chances this time around with what happened with Obama. And I don't think Bernie was a wild card that they expected to maybe get up to 10% at the most, and then, you know, he'd be done with, and then she'd get free sailing all the way up to, you know, when she was going to have to run against Trump. And now Trump was a according to some of those leaks, the Pied Piper stuff about how they wanted to run against the most insane candidates. So they picked, I think it was Trump, Ben Carson, and Ted Cruz that they wanted to run against because they knew that they were just so insane that they can make the Republicans look like idiots. And so that's obviously what happened. And, you know, as you mentioned, the media loves Trump. They gave him like over $1 billion in free media coverage to prop him up and let him win that Republican nomination, and now it's all the cards are kind of stacked up to allow Clinton to come in and let him basically beat himself, you know. And what's telling to me, and that this is what's so crazy ridiculous, and it just doesn't make any sense, at least from like a surface level, is no matter how bad Trump beats himself, Clinton still can't pull that far ahead of him because she is so overwhelmingly hated by so many people. Like, people just literally can't like her.
For a lot of really good, legitimate reasons, too, if you think about it.
Yeah. You know, and it's it really is interesting. Despite the overwhelming institutional support that Clinton has, whether it's every single major news outlet like the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC, you know, CNN, every single one of them, except for maybe Fox News, even though Fox News, their employees actually give a lot of money to Hillary Clinton. You know, almost every single institution is lining up behind Hillary Clinton, and they still can't get her that far ahead. You know, and that to me is what's really telling this election, is that she is going to be, if she wins, the most hated and most you know, just unliked presidential, you know, president probably in ever, if not in a really long time.
Well, I think,
and like, that's saying a lot too when you think about George W. Bush's approval ratings when he left office.
It is. I think the most telling thing about it is I think Trump, for whatever it is, I think Hillary was any other candidate. He is there to be just this horrible candidate that can beat himself, but she's so terrible, she still doesn't have support. Her biggest flaw was what she did to Bernie Sanders, because I don't care what they say. And this is what you keep hearing, and people are buying into it and they're believing it. I don't know what's going to happen on Election Day, but people keep repeating what the media says. And the media keeps saying, oh, she's going to win. We've got this poll. She's going to win. We've got this poll. I have eyes. And first off, I don't believe anything the media tells me. My eyes show me that Tim Kaine has a rally and 30 people show up, including the media. Trump has a rally, or Mike Pence, for that matter, has a rally, and thousands of people show up. So I don't care that they keep saying, well, she's going to win, she's going to win, she's going to win. They lie to you. It's all propaganda. I am 1,000% convinced he will win the popular vote. Like it or not, it's going to happen. People hate her guts. Now, who's going to be the president beats me. But
Now, wait a minute. You said that he'll win the popular vote, probably handily, if what you're saying is correct.
So well, it's true.
What does that mean when she's elected president?
The only people voting for her are voting for her out of fear of him. No,
there's
one.
There's an army of dead people that are going to vote for her too.
Exactly, that's true.
Army. In fact, there'll probably be more dead people voting in this election than actual live people voting in this election.
She's got the woman liberal baby boomer vote locked up pretty solidly.
That's what I said. Dead people. Yeah.
I think even with the media telling you that certain demographics of people are going to vote for her, I still don't buy it. I get that there's going to be people that vote for her out of fear of him. I don't know how anybody with a brain can think, yep, she's what's right for her country. Now, with that being said, yesterday I had on CNN. Don't ask me why. And they were it was a news story. A news story. They were talking to these elderly couples in Florida that had retired. And the whole story was how these – and it was such propaganda, because it was coming across as these, you know, elderly, intelligent, wise people, and about why they think Hillary Clinton is, you know, that she's going to be our president, and we've never thought about voting for Trump. I mean, just blatant propaganda. But here's the thing they're overlooking when it comes to human nature. First off, especially Americans, they pull for an underdog. The media, I've gotten the impression at times that the media wants Trump to win the way they've piled on top of him. And, of course, this is after the primaries, because he got all the free publicity in the world through the primaries from the media. But now as they pile on top of him, it's almost like they want him to win because people are going to vote for him to spite people. I think there's going to be a lot of spite votes. I think there's going to be a lot of Bernie people that vote for him just to spite her. And I also believe that, and you never hear this in the polls, Gary Johnson and Jill Stein are going to get a lot more votes than people are talking about, just because people will not be able to stomach putting an X next to both of either Trump or Hillary's name.
Do you think that will be split? Do you think that will be favored one way or the other? Maybe Johnson gets 10-12% of the vote, Stein gets 5%. Maybe they both get around 8%. I mean, what do you see there?
That's a good question. I think Johnson, because libertarian is the most recognizable brand, I think he'll get the person that's just, I can't vote for either one, I got to vote for somebody else. I think he'll get that vote, a lot of that vote. But I think a lot of these Bernie people that will never, ever, ever, ever vote for her will vote for Jill Stein. And I think it's going to be a lot more chaotic percentage-wise than anybody in the media is telling us. So what's actually going to happen, I don't know, because I 100% know down deep in my soul that it's going to be rigged from top to bottom. But with that being said, I think the majority of people are going to vote for Trump just because I see thousands of people going to Trump rallies and nobody goes to Hillary rallies. If this was Bernie, it'd be way different. Thousands of people went to go see Bernie speak. Thousands of people supported Bernie Sanders. But, you know, she doesn't have it. She doesn't. In a way.
Is Ralph Nader voting, or is he running in this one? Can we vote for Ralph Nader this election?
You can if you want, but it ain't going.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, Ralph's still alive. I like still to this day how they blamed Ralph Nader on Gore not winning when it was. And as much as I can't stand.
He couldn't carry his own state, man. Come on.
I always thought that was funny. But he did carry Florida, whether people like it or not. And votes went missing. And people have since admitted it.
Boy, and he said, you know, when those people came out from his own, you know, his own grassroots supporters that did the investigation that were like, hey, there's some major discrepancies here in these vote counts. And Gore was a good boy and said, oh, you know what, guys, shut up and don't even talk about that ever again, because you know what, Bush won the election fair and square. And that's what I see so funny about all this talk with Trump not accepting the results.
But I want to throw this in real quick. He didn't drop out. The Supreme Court, I think, had their decision on December the 12th. He dropped out December the 13th, over a month after Election Day. And that goes into what I think you were about to say, Nick, about Trump saying it's rigged. Well, Gore held out for a month. Nobody's mentioning that.
Yeah, dude. But, you know, even afterwards, you know, when all these, you know, we saw that documentary together, actually, I think, Hacking Democracy, I think it's called. But, you know, there was a bunch of discrepancies down in Florida. And when the investigators brought the information to the Gore campaign, they didn't want to hear it. You know, they were done with it, you know. And so I don't know. It's just it's so strange how that happens. But yeah, this election is just crazy. I mean, the giant meteor is doing pretty well among young people, 23%, I think. Poor D's Nuts got bullied out by the FCC or the FEC or whatever.
Yeah, the Federal Election Commission.
Yeah, FEC, yeah.
D's Nuts got bullied out by them, and, you know, he's no longer running, so that kind of sucks.
That still leaves Vermin Supreme, Supreme 16, Fear the Boot.
Well, one thing that there, and here's another thing for democracy for people, that you can't legally write people in to vote in many, many states. I think John McCain said that he was going to write in Lindsey Graham, ha ha ha, insert joke here. But his vote actually will not count if he does that because of whatever laws are in place that a write-in vote in Arizona doesn't count. You have to vote for who's on the ballot. And it's not that way in every state, but it's that way in a lot of states. So, you know, there really is a gun to the head of the American people right now that you're going to get what we give you. But, you know, I don't know, you know, where it goes. I've said repeatedly, you know, I think it's funny because Michael Moore came out and said almost verbatim one of the same things I've been saying for a while is that Trump is a Molotov cocktail vote. It's just screw it. Let's just set something on fire and throw it through the window. That's what Trump is to me. Look, are we probably going to go into some, who knows what that guy's capable of? I don't like negative trust for him. Negative trust. But with Hillary, we all know what's going to happen. What people need to understand, and you talked about it earlier, Nick, when she says no fly zone, she is saying, hey, everybody, I really actually want to go to war with Russia. Just so you know, I am telling you now, I want to have war with Russia. That's what a no-fly zone in Syria is. It's saying we're going to shoot down Russian planes in a country that they were invited into, whether what they're doing is humane or not, because that's a whole different topic. But we're just there. And if we shoot down their planes, I saw today some reporter was talking about, well, we could wipe out their all of Russia's infrastructure in Syria in 48 hours. Yeah, because that would be the end of it, you moron. Putin would just go, oh, they got us. That's the end of that. It would literally start World War III. And that's what Hillary's proposing. That's crazy.
And you got the reporters, like you said, reporters are, like, regurgitating that, like, advocating it. Like, oh, yeah, it'd be easy to just wipe out Russian air defenses in Syria. As if the reporters are, like, actively working with the military contractors to make themselves a bunch of money. Maybe that's what's going on. But, yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these prevailing, like, headwinds that I see with these candidates. First of all, like I said with Hillary, you know, she does have one demographic locked up that actually is motivated to vote for her, and those are the female baby boomer liberals. That's her main demographic. They are actually happy because one of their own can get elected. And, you know, I've got a few in my family that are pretty like, yeah, I'm glad Hillary Clinton is running and I'm proudly going to cast my vote for her. But that's pretty much her only demographic. With Trump, I mean, he has got a big time core group of solid supporters that are really excited about voting for him, whether it's the Molotov cocktail vote because people are just so goddamn fed up with this country and they've felt so left out of the quote unquote progress that's taken place over the past 20 years. You know, whether it's that or whether they actually believe in the incendiary stuff that he says, or whether there are people that are middle class families that used to be working in manufacturing and saw the entire economy get wiped out. You know, he's got a solid base of support. So I do believe that you're correct on that, that Trump will win the popular vote, though, you know, Al Gore won the popular vote as well, and he didn't become president. So, you know, that's one thing to keep in mind. You know, if he wins a popular vote, that doesn't necessarily mean he wins, because there's other things that are involved, like Electoral College and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Here's what makes me nervous. I was having this conversation earlier today, is that Donald Trump supporters are not Al Gore supporters. Farthest thing in the world from it. And especially with the climate, the political climate that we have today, if he wins the popular vote, I don't see people reacting very well if he doesn't become president. I don't see them reacting well at all. And that's really scary to me. How are these people going to react to it?
Yeah, and all those guys have guns, and a lot of them know how to use them as well. So, yeah, it is going to be a very dangerous thing that could happen. But then, you know, it goes back to the whole, you know, Trump and Clinton are good friends when it comes down to it. And, you know, maybe...
I think they were. I will genuinely say, after that Al Smith dinner... And at first I saw them and they were laughing with each other. And I was like, oh, okay. And I don't know. I started to feel that they genuinely hate each other at this point. I thought for a long time they were just high-fiving and this was all them being friends. I don't know anymore. They're either really good actors or they really hate each other.
Yeah. You know, I got to ask this question, though. And this is, you know, this thought just occurred to me. What happens if Hillary gets elected? Although there is pretty widespread belief and probably maybe a little bit of evidence, kind of like what we've seen in these leaks, that the election was tilted in her favor. And, okay, all the Bubbas go ahead and take to the streets, grab their guns, get in the 4x4s, Trump stickers, and the Make America Great hats on, the camo. And they take off and they do what? What happens at that point?
That's a good question.
Do they march to Washington? I mean, you know, the thing is that, and I guess where I'm going with this is that at what point, if Hillary does assume that position, there's a lot of dissent and, you know, a little rah-rah-rah in the ranks about it. At what point does it become almost illegal to mention Trump's name. And suddenly everybody gets instantly triggered. Oh, you're one of those guys. You're one of those Trump people, the Trump people that were racist and misogynist. And you see where I'm going with this?
Certainly. And I think there's already an air of that now a little bit. I just think the climate, it's everybody's so divided. And you see it as somebody that's against Hillary. I mean, you can't say a bad word about her without somebody automatically going, you like Trump. No. Not at all.
Three threads on social media and on Facebook just over the weekend. I mentioned something about something disparaging about Hillary, was branded a Trump supporter, or I mentioned something bad about Trump and was branded a Hillary supporter. And, instantly, I mean, within 30 seconds, oh, you must be one of those. No, I'm not. I'm not either one.
I don't know. I can say this. I think if people react violently, that is the complete opposite way they should react. It will get so bad and we'll go backwards. That is not what people need to be doing. In a perfect world, somebody in the FBI at this point would stop being paid off and on the take and go put handcuffs on her. That's in a perfect world, but, is that going to happen? I don't think so. But
that was the perfect world that we voted for, wasn't it?
Well, she paid off that perfect world. She bought it. And what's even scarier is it's not even just speculation anymore. It's not this, oh, they're payoff people. Because of WikiLeaks, we know that the assistant FBI director, the guy that was in charge of her whole email investigation, his wife was given hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to run for state senate and lose in Virginia. And that's how they funneled the money through. I mean, there's multiple people that should be under the prison for all this. And, nobody cares.
One other point, too, is that, and even Hillary herself kind of tried to hammer it home to drive the attention away from the content of the WikiLeaks. But the fact that, Russia hacked some unsecured servers in order to get all of these emails. Okay, that's fine and dandy. You know somewhere that John McAfee's got to be laughing his ass off right now, because cybersecurity in the United States is absolutely deplorable, particularly with the advances in technology that other countries have made, India, Russia, China, the list goes on and on.
Here's a quick question. We've got just a couple minutes here left, Nick, and I got a quick question for you. How much of this Russia rhetoric dies down if she wins? Because she's been won. Do you think they steer away from the Russia rhetoric a little bit because she won the election? And they're clearly using it to draw a line between her and Trump, because that's really all they have, I think. And saying, Russia's influencing our elections because of WikiLeaks and Donald Trump. Do you think they back off of that, or do you think they just keep going full steam ahead where we do end up in war?
Well, that's a good question, man, and that's something I've been worried about, because this anti-Russia rhetoric, it's not really new. What is new is that the Democrats are the ones really. Look back at 2012, it was Mitt Romney that was pushing the anti-Russia line, dude. But,
I tell you what, that's it for us, Nick. We'll be back next week. Anytime on your radio, Nick Burnaby, Jamie Bad. I'm asking you to get some time to break. I'ma let 'em know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.